looking at verse 26. Acts chapter 8, and beginning there at verse 26. Let us hear the word of God. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why should I not be baptized?" And he ordered the chariot to stop. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. I've read to the end of the chapter. May God follow with his blessing the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the praise and the glory. There are five wonderful stories of individual conversion in the Acts of the Apostles. There's this story of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. There's the marvelous story of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9 and the 22nd chapter and the 26th chapter, I believe, also record the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And then there's the story of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, 11, and 15. And then in Acts chapter 16, we have the encounter with Lydia and also with the Philippian jailer. But this morning we want to look at this encounter with God that this Ethiopian eunuch had. And the first thing I want us to notice from the passage is the preparation that was made. The preparation of Philip, first of all, and then of the Ethiopian himself, as they came together to have this encounter with God. Philip obviously had the gift of evangelism. And as far as Philip was concerned, it didn't much matter whether it was mass evangelism or whether it was person-to-person evangelism. That is, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to a large number of people, or to meet someone in an individual way and there in that setting simply share his faith and bring that person to the place of decision. If we go back in the chapter, in this 8th chapter of Acts, we have a record of Philip's ministry in Samaria. And there it seems he proclaimed Jesus Christ to crowds of people. And read the results there. They're tremendous. There were miracles of healing. The evil spirits were dealt with, were driven out of people. And Luke, the writer of Acts, tells us that there was great joy in that city where Philip was ministering, where he was proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. God came down with a mighty movement of his spirit, and there were many who were ushered into the kingdom of God. By any standard, Philip was a successful evangelist. But Luke tells us that the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, probably in the midst of this most successful evangelistic mission or campaign. And the angel says to him, I want you to go south to the road, to the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And Luke records, in the very next verse, verse 27, that he started out. He started out. Can you imagine it? Numbers of people were hearing the gospel. Numbers of people were coming to faith in Jesus Christ in response to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the movement of the Spirit of God. And this angel says, I want you to go down south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Miracles are taking place. Joy in the city, the happenings of God, the refreshing rains of revival and renewal taking place. And this angel says, I want you to go down to this road. We would not have blamed Philip if he had said something like this, Lord, I mean, what are you asking me to do? Here is success. You're displaying yourself in a mighty way. You're moving these people to repentance and to faith in Jesus. Why would you want me to leave this and go down to that road? I tell you, if I had been Philip, my faith would have been tested. I would have had to ask the question, why? But the point is this, that Philip obeyed. God told him to go, and he went. And then, you see, he discovers the reason why in his obedience. Why this had to be so, that God appointed an hour. God appointed a place. And so it is that Philip meets the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, friends, we often find ourselves in those kinds of circumstances where we ask the question, why? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you taking me from this to go there? And you see, the lesson we must learn from Philip as this preparation is made for him to have this encounter with the Ethiopian is the fact that it's in his obedience that he discovers the reason why. We here in Knox are in something of that position. We're obeying the will of God. We're attempting to follow the work of the Spirit of God in our midst. And some of us are asking why. But you see, we're pressing on, and it's in our obedience that we're going to be blessed with the answer. The answer is going to come in our obedience. Now notice that there's a further obedience. God told him to go to that chariot and stay near it. I think God has a tremendous sense of humor, my friends. He really has. Can you imagine this? This chariot is going along this desert road. Can you think of the dust? Can you think of poor old Philip? I just hope he was in good shape. You know, I was down at the Royal Winter Fair, and we were at the dog, not the dog show, but what do they call it? The super dogs. And I didn't feel sorry for the dogs. You know, those dogs are in tremendous shape. They're running all the time. But you ever look at the people who are running alongside of them? Oh, I'm glad it's not me. You've got to be in shape to keep up with those animals. I know that from my own dogs. Think of this poor Philip huffing and puffing alongside of this chariot because the chariot is moving. And he's probably covered in dust and he's sweating a sweat. Again, why? Why from the success of the city when I was conducting this marvelous evangelistic campaign and mission to come to this Ethiopian official, to run alongside the chariot, to be covered in the dust and sweat of that road? Why? And again, God reveals to him the answer. And he hears this Ethiopian reading the prophecy of Isaiah. You see, God was preparing Philip all the way, preparing him in his own experience of salvation in Christ, preparing him as an evangelist to declare the gospel to the crowds, preparing him to be obedient to the call of God, even when he might not fully understand, and even when he might be hostile to the leading of the Spirit of God, preparing him to meet this high official of the people. Well, that's one sort of preparation we find here, but there's another preparation, and it's the preparation of the Ethiopian. Notice how God was preparing him for this encounter. He was a good man. He was a worshiper of Jehovah. He was a God-fearer. He was a devout man. He's reading the book of Isaiah in a chariot traveling along the road. That's quite a feat. And yet he does it. And just at a God-appointed moment, Philip appears and hears him reading aloud from Isaiah. And Philip asks a very simple question. We can all ask this kind of question in our encounters with people. Do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian, opened by the Holy Spirit of God, seeking after God, preparing for this encounter, in his genuine search for God, he answers, "How can I? How can I unless someone explains it to me?" And so the Ethiopian stops the chariot, invites Philip to come up and join him, and to tell him what this portion of Holy Scripture means. What an entry point for Philip. The prophecy of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And he doesn't even have to initiate. So prepared is the Ethiopian that he asks another question. Is the prophet talking about himself, or is he talking about someone else? And Philip is prepared by the Holy Spirit to do all he can to lead this man to Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter in the final analysis whether it is to 1,000 people or to one individual. He's prepared. Are you prepared to lead someone in an encounter with God? Do you allow the Holy Spirit, as you engage one and another in conversation, wherever you are in the business world, everywhere? Are you open to the leading of the Spirit of God to initiate that encounter? Well, the Ethiopian is prepared by the Holy Spirit, seeking, searching, but in the right place, in the Scriptures. He's honest and open. He's asking the right questions. Perhaps there's somebody here this morning who doesn't know Jesus Christ as the Son of God and personal Savior. And you're in this place. You're seeking. God bless you for it. God bless you that you've come to Knox Church this morning. And you're seeking God. You're seeking your encounter with God. Take heart. You're not going to be disappointed. God is preparing you, you see, for this moment of decision when you may receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, perhaps even this morning in this worship service or following. So you see, there's great preparation taking place between these two individuals for their encounter with God. But in the second place, I want us to notice that there is preaching. That's how the gospel writer Luke, who also wrote the Acts of the Apostles, that's how he describes it. In verse 35, he says, "Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture, Isaiah 53, and he preached the good news about Jesus." Whether it was to a crowd of people or to one individual, Philip shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you thought of what the ingredients to that gospel might have been? As Philip opened up Isaiah 53 in the hearing of the Ethiopian. Well, perhaps first of all, it was the fact that Jesus was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. It's a picture, of course, of the Savior. Remember how they said of Jesus, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know, to put him down. And the gospel writer John perhaps gives us the saddest words in all scripture. He came to his own and his own received him not. Yes, he was despised and rejected. Philip preached Jesus Christ as the sinless, innocent, spotless Lamb of God. Isaiah describes it, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Even Pilate, in the midst of the trial, could cry out to the people, "Why? What evil has he done?" He could wash his hands publicly and say, "I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See to it." Committed no sin. And then he preached Jesus as the silent sufferer. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Isaiah said, "As a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." Again, we recall that scene at the trial, don't we? When Jesus before Pilate answered not a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. And then Philip preached Jesus as the great sin bearer. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows," Isaiah said. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Wasn't that what the Apostle Peter said? "Christ suffered for us," he said, "who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, by whose stripes we are healed." And so you see, Philip took that very passage from Isaiah 53, and he told the Ethiopian the good news about Jesus. Jesus despised and rejected. Jesus the sinless one. Jesus the silent sufferer. Jesus the great sin bearer. Oh, that we would be like Philip as he preached the good news of Jesus. So there was preparation and there was preaching. And then I would suggest to you that there was proclamation. Proclamation in the sense of great witness bearing, public witness bearing. They're traveling along. The Ethiopian says to Philip, "Here is water. Why should I not be baptized?" And that's exactly what happens. The chariot is stopped. Philip and the Ethiopian get down out of the chariot. They go into the water. And the Ethiopian was baptized in the name of Jesus. And then significantly, Luke records that he went on his way rejoicing. The Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. He was baptized and he went on his way rejoicing. That's proclamation. That's public confession. When anybody stands before a congregation of God's people, and it doesn't matter whether it's adult baptism or infant baptism, somebody is proclaiming the fact that Jesus Christ is present. Present in the life of the person confessing faith in Christ. Present in the parents, the adults, who are confessing Jesus Christ. At the heart, you see, is always this experience of God, of knowing God, of confessing God in Jesus Christ. And so the question we're going to be asked is not, have you been baptized, not have you taken the Lord's Supper, but are you trusting in Jesus as your Savior? Do you know Jesus in this personal, intimate way as your sin bearer, the one who has taken upon himself your sin and died for you on the cross? This is what happened to the Ethiopian, and he made his public declaration. He made his public witness. And he was proclaiming the good news to others, rejoicing in the great victory he had now achieved over sin and death and hell through his Savior Jesus Christ. John Bunyan wrote the greatest allegory in the English language, The Pilgrim's Progress. There was one day he was preaching from the book of James, chapter 5, verse 20. He that converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. And he cried out, Oh, these words. He that converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Ruth Graham, the wife of the evangelist Billy Graham, tells a story about an awful fire that swept through a Roman Catholic school in the city of Chicago in December of 1958. She tells of how one of the teachers, a nun, was being interviewed on television. And the nun told of the panic and the heat and the smoke. And she told of herding her class one by one out of a window and down the ladders to safety. And then that dear sister, struggling to control her emotions, told that after leading her pupils one by one to safety, and after she herself had made it to safety, she said, "I looked up at the window, billowing with black smoke." And it was then she said simply, with the tears coursing down her cheeks, that I saw the one I had missed. The one I had missed. Rejoice in your salvation today if you're a Christian. Rejoice in the salvation of others, but remember the one I missed. And the one you missed. Oh, these words. He that converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture, Isaiah 53, and told him the good news about Jesus. God grant it. Let us pray. Father, some of us may feel very inadequate to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus. And yet, Father, we know that you prepare us for those encounters. And even as you prepare us, you prepare those we encounter. Because over us, in us, through us, your Holy Spirit is working and leading. And he's willing to give us even the word that we will speak. Lead us this coming week in such a way that we may be open to that leading, that urging, so that we might share with one and another the glorious good news of Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Now we sing a rejoicing word as we conclude our service this morning in 414 in the Book of Praise.